What's up, listeners? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the In the End Zone podcast. Just a quick heads up before we jump right into it. You can find this recording as well as some of our previous recordings on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can find us by searching at Settle Down Media on both of those sites. Also, be sure to follow us on our social media pages. We regularly post on Instagram. You can find us by searching at In the End Zone podcast on Instagram. Also, be sure to follow us on the at Settle Down Media TikTok page. We post clips on there pretty regularly. Also, be sure to follow us on our Patreon. For less than a cup of coffee in a month, $3, you get exclusive content. You get access to behind-the-scenes stuff, footage before it's even out on YouTube. So, yeah, check that out. Help support us. It helps us get better gear, better quality content. So it goes directly to improving the quality. So thank you for doing that. And finally, our last piece of information, we're moving to Thursdays. We understand that with football coming up, football starts on a Thursday now. So instead of Friday morning, it's going to be Thursday morning. That way we're current on everything we're talking about. And if you have any fantasy football questions, we can answer that before the game start. So thanks for watching this and enjoy the rest of the episode. Peace.
Let's get this shit, dude. Welcome back. I was not expecting that. It's been a while, fellas. It's been a while since we've seen that.
Really had to bring that out. Bring that, you know, in honor of the weekly episodes again. No longer the bi-weekly, you know.
Yes, of course. We are now on weekly from the gym.
Wow, I thought you were about to do a shoey.
Absolutely not. Not these. These are.
Hey, we're back.
We are back.
Episode 44 of the In the End Zone podcast. Fellas, how you doing? How's everything going, Zach?
Life is great, bro. Mm. Life is great. Just super busy. But
you got a bag.
Work honestly has been really good. It's been a lot better than the last place I was working, so I'm pretty excited about that. Working out's been pretty solid, but I've been busy as fuck. Watching some Dexter with Anthony still. We're getting through season 7. I'm really excited to get to season 8. But yeah, just chilling. It's been a good, I guess, week because it's only been a week. If you guys didn't know, we're kind of celebrating. Keaton obviously mentioned this, but we are starting to do weekly podcasts again because the season is starting. I'm so fucking excited for football. So excited. But Anthony, how's your week been?
It's going good. It's the same old, same old. It's studying. That's all it is. Yeah. That's my week. Yeah. It's studying.
That's an Anthony classic right there. Studying.
Yeah. Studying, drinking Coca-Cola, you know, sponsored by Coca-Cola.
We're not sponsored.
Coca-Cola and Baron Pizza, please sponsor this, man. Please sponsor. Please.
We need a 47 brand sponsor and a Coke sponsor.
Yes.
You should do the 999 challenge with 9 pieces of pizza and 9 Coca-Colas.
I'll take that down by the fifth inning.
No easy. Way. No shot.
Fifth inning.
You don't have the fuck. No. You don't have the stomach capacity for that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Could you imagine that?
Maybe 9 innings
after like 3 would be tough.
I don't think you could get 5 pieces of pizza.
Ooh.
With 9.
No.
I'm telling you, the drinks add up quick. The drinks add up quick.
No, for sure.
Anyway.
But anyways,
yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Anthony. Continue.
Oh, I was just gonna say, week is going good. Still studying. We're grinding for August 27th. That's my test date. We're grinding for it. It's looking good. Took a lot of tests, and here we are. We're here to do the pod, talk some football.
Yeah,
Keaton, how's your week?
Week's been decent. Just been grinding, man. Just
getting that bag.
Just trying to bag chase, getting some overtime. You know, trying to pay for a snake. You know, all that stuff. That I will have officially on Saturday, so the day after this episode comes out. Ant, don't bring that back up. Ant knows what he did. Anyway, so just been grinding, man. I've worked, working about 6 days a week. I'm working about 6 days a week for the full month. So it'll be nice. But yeah, sports are back. Olympics wrapped up. Baseball's hot. Motorsport is back. NASCAR is hot. So yeah, we're so back
next weekend. So I want to see your snake.
Nice. My parents will be here too next weekend.
Really? Oh yeah.
Yes, sir. Looking at some property. All right.
Cool.
Let's jump into this hoe.
Green 18. Red 48. Settle down, settle down. Wide 80. Sit hut.
We suck. We suck. Get rid of Belichick. Get rid of Mac Jones. Get rid of our entire fucking receiving core.
You guys are 2-8.
That's what I thought.
7-2-8. It doesn't matter. We still suck.
So Seahawks played the Ravens. Final score was 28-25. Geno Smith, 5 touchdowns, no interceptions. Not really much to write home about that game. Right.
This is a
I don't think Jared Goff is a top 5 quarterback in the NFC.
Are you putting Justin Herbert over Jared Goff?
Yes.
It was like an interview for like a new podcast company. Called Brazzers. I mean, you could see I'm literally in the I'm in the headquarters right now, dude.
Hey, Keaton, are you ever going to go back to the Brazzers headquarters?
At some point.
Why haven't you visited again?
Just too much girth. Too much girth.
They couldn't put you on camera anymore.
I gotta say one thing. I watch these intros and sometimes I just zone out when they're playing because they're, you know, we watch the same one every week or 2 weeks. Geno Smith, and I'm gonna die on this hill the rest of my life. Geno Smith is not a bum, and I'm so fucking excited for this new offense to prove that.
No, he's not a bum. He's not a bum.
Because statistically,
I just said that randomly. He really isn't.
Statistically, well, that game that we were talking about in that
clip. Very bummy. Very bummy,
Which, again, I don't know what you're going to do with that offensive coordinator because, you know, I'm not going to lie. If Caleb Williams has any potential, it's not with the offensive coordinator in Chicago.
I don't know. His preseason debut was pretty fucking good. I'll say that.
I think he's going to be fine. Personally, I hope he's not fine. I personally think Shane Waldron is the shittiest offensive coordinator when it comes to within the last 20 yards to get to a touchdown. He's awful.
That's fair.
So doesn't matter. Look, we have a jam packed week. We got some huge piece of news that dropped this week. A lot of it breaking, a lot of it today. Speaking of breaking, we'll jump right into it, but we also have a divisional breakdown. We're going to cover the AFC and NFC East. Basically give our predictions. Who's going to come out on top? Who's going to suck? Commanders, you will suck. A little sneak peek. But look, let's talk about some breaking news. Let's talk about some breaking news. JJ McCarthy, torn meniscus. I mean, bust. He's busting. His knee's busting. He's a bust. That's all I gotta say. JJ McCarthy is undergoing a season-ending surgery to repair his torn meniscus in his right knee. This happened during his first preseason game, in which after he complained about some knee soreness, they said it might just be, you know, wear and tear, whatever. Then the next day he complained about it again, saying, "Hey, it's not feeling so great, same as yesterday." They took him in for a general scanning, and it came out that his meniscus was pretty shot. So originally when the report came out, it said he was out indefinitely, meaning they just don't know when that is. And then later in the day, they gave the full conclusive evidence that he's gone for the year.
Based off his schedule.
Yeah, exactly. Which, you know, I don't hate. Like, I hate it for I don't hate it for JJ McCarthy. I don't like JJ McCarthy.
Let's be honest.
But
not JJ. I do.
Let's be honest. If I was just a JJ fan, I'd feel like shit for him, man. Because I really think he could have contended for the starting job. Whether, you know, I mean, he's competing with Sam Darnold. So how productive are they going to be? Hey. That being said, he wasn't expected to be the starter for the first few weeks. It was Sam Darnold's team. Sam Darnold was going to take it over. And personally, I think Minnesota's whole goal in this was to let him be a backup for the better part of the year and hopefully let him learn under center so he can come out steady and ready. And that will 100% happen with him sitting out. He's going to be able to watch from the sidelines a full season, hopefully, and come back stronger and better than ever. But yeah, what do you think about this, Zach?
All I will say is, if you're a closet, stay the fuck away from Tyler. That's all I said. He is punching closets right now that JJ's out. He's glazing him up like, hey, JJ, you need some recovery tips?
I gotta. JJ, can I have JJ? I'll can I suck on your recovery tip? That's staying in, dude. We're not cutting.
Okay, Tyler, if you're watching this, I'm sorry, but I had to do it a little.
This is the first ever cut-free episode.
Let's actually talk about this. I'm not a JJ fan, so I'm gonna say this straight up. I thought he was gonna be a bust no matter what, but I will say I do feel bad for the guy. First preseason game going to the NFL, you tear your meniscus. It's very, very unfortunate. But am I thinking that the Vikings are going to get worse because of it? No. Am I sad about it? No. I knew Sam Darnold was going to start regardless. And realistically, I think Sam Darnold could be decent in that offense.
I do too.
They have weapons. But seriously, I feel bad for JJ, even though I don't like him the most. It's very unfortunate. Other than that, I don't really have much to say. I think he still has a career ahead of him just because he's so young. We're going to do quotes because JJ is not the youngest, but I don't know, man. I think that it's a tough position to be in, especially when, you know, you get hurt and you come back a season later. And what's going to happen with the Vikings? Are they going to stick with Sam Darnold if he plays well? Is he fucked for the rest of his career? It's just like, I think it's a tough position to be in, but it's also one of those things. It's like, we've seen this before where players have been hurt and they come back and they're great, you know, but
yeah.
Is JJ that guy? Is JJ really? Okay. JJ is not that old. I'm sorry. I misspoke.
He's 21. I think you're thinking of Michael Penix.
I was thinking of Penix, and there's another quarterback that was a bit older in this draft class as well, but
still, Milton.
Yeah. I mean, he's 21. Yeah. Maybe Milton. There was another guy too. I thought that was a bit older, but I'm just getting them mixed up. That's on me.
It happens. But, life happens.
Yeah, I mean, realistically, he's younger. He's 21, and I think that he can come back. I just don't know how realistic it is for him to come back and start for a team that hasn't given him a chance if Sam Darnold plays well. Not to say that's not his team to win over, but it's just a tough position to be in, especially as a round one type of player, you know? You're drafted in the first round. You have high expectations. You hurt yourself. You better come back and play well, and if you don't, we've seen this with a lot of guys. With a lot of guys, especially when they're younger. But the good thing is he's young, and even if he doesn't play well with them, I think he can revive his potential career somewhere else.
Yeah, I agree. Ant, do you have anything on that?
No, I was same thing. I was going to say, you know what, no matter what, sucks. He's a young guy, young, quote unquote, young, right? He's a young guy, drafted first round, right? You have the high expectations. Obviously, you're not getting it now after getting hurt after the very first preseason game. Once again, it sucks. It sucks for the Vikings. Viking fans right now, they are punching the air right now.
Yeah.
Because of how
bad they gave up like, a lot. They did.
And you got to feel for them a little bit with that. Sure, they have Jay Jettas, but still, like, it sucks all in all. And, you know, see how it bounce back, how he bounces back with all that.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, sure. Speaking of bouncing back, are the Niners back in play with Brandon Ayuk? Because look, they were down and out, man. They were knocked down. The ref was counting to 10. They got up in the ninth second because here's what's going on. The Pittsburgh Steelers sent a trade offer to the Niners. It's in limbo because it's like the first real trade offer. It sounds like Brandon Ayuk wants to take it, but here's the problem, and here's what we've been talking about all year. The Niners, no matter what, hold the final say. And from what it sounds like, the Niners don't like what the Steelers have to offer. And for the most part, what do the Steelers have to offer the Niners? We've talked about this, 2 weeks ago? Last week, they cannot offer skill positions or players of need for the Niners, right? No. What they have to offer, the Niners don't need. So it came out earlier that the Niners were close to a deal with the Steelers to deal Brandon Ayuk to them. Then the Niners basically said, hey, we're going to hold off. So then it was rumored that the Niners got into talks financially with Brandon Ayuk to try and see if they could get him closer to what he wants. It sounds like Brandon Ayuk does not want to be a part of that team. The Niners don't want to be a part of the Steelers trade. So it's stalled out. This is the fourth week in a row that we've had some Brandon Ayuk news. The trade rumors have been there since Friday, Saturday. Pretty much stalled out since then, and it's been about 48 hours with no news. So by all accounts, he's probably staying a Niner, but I don't know. Zach, what's your thoughts about this as a Niners D writer or fan or whatever?
Okay. Let's take a breath and not do what we did last week, because I was really frustrated last week. Yeah.
Come up for air.
This week I'm a little bit more tame, but I will say I just am starting to get over it, man. I'm just annoyed at this point. It's like, I understand the Niners are going back and forth, and realistically, from the beginning, Brandon Ayuk has made it pretty clear he's wanted to either play for the Niners or the Steelers, right? It's 1A, 1B. So then we get these other teams that come in, and now they're completely out of the race, right? And the 49ers are in this weird limbo where it's like, okay, the Steelers don't even have anyone to give to them, right? And then they give them an offer. We hear that the Steelers are literally in place to make the trade for Brandon Ayuk. And then, like you said, 12 hours goes by, 24 hours goes by, we hear nothing. And now it's a bunch of rumors like he's on the practice field. He dapped up the coaches again today. He's been in contact with our GM. Everything that you can hear.
Literally, yeah, I heard he's in good spirits.
About Brandon Ayuk, yes. You can see specifically on Twitter, on any update place that you can find it. You're going to find literally any piece of news from Brandon Ayuk and about Brandon Ayuk. But the main thing that I saw, and this is why I wanted to talk about it today specifically, was this. I'll present my screen. And why I was actually pretty excited is, if you don't know who this guy is, he's the best wide receiver of all time. Jerry Rice posted yesterday, 22 hours ago, I guess we will all find out tomorrow, goats. Will he stay or leave at Brandon Ayuk? Okay, now I'm going to get rid of this. Oh, shit. Did you guys not see that? I didn't add to the stage, huh? Oh, my bad. Can you see this now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. So, like I said, this is Jerry Rice, the best offensive player of all time, if you're not counting quarterbacks, but the best wide receiver of all time. He said, I guess we will all find out tomorrow, goats. Will he stay or leave? Also, he played for the 49ers, if you guys don't know. And then he posted this, like I said, 22 hours ago, right? And so I'm thinking 22 hours ago, we start writing these Google Docs. We start kind of putting stuff in our chats like, okay, Brandon Ayuk, we're probably going to have news on him before we actually start talking today, Wednesday at 8 p.m., 7 p.m., depending on what time you're talking. But we don't have anything. And it's like, dude, we've had so many reports where it's like breaking news, Brandon Ayuk has a trade offer this. Breaking news, Brandon Ayuk says he wants to stay with the 49ers, and now he's in good spirits. It's like, dude, at this point, I've stopped looking at the notifications because genuinely it started to piss me off. Like what happened last week, I was pissed off. But this week, I look at these notifications, and I'm like, dude, this isn't even worth it. It's breaking news for literally any piece of information. I'm just over it. Just give me a fucking contract. Tell him if he's traded or not, and that's it. Yeah. That's where I'm at this point. And again, like I said, no matter what happens, I've lost respect for Brandon Ayuk. No matter what. He's not in my doghouse. He's still a 49er. If he still goes with the 49ers and signs with them. But all I will say is you better fucking perform. You better perform, bud. No matter where you go, you better perform, because you are acting like a grade A pussy bitch. Mm. That's all I'm going to say.
Mm.
That's it.
Speak on it.
Ant.
Speak on it.
Nothing. He's officially one of the top NFL divas right now, besides Stephon Diggs, and kind of happy
and honestly
that he didn't want to go to the Patriots. Honestly, I don't want a diva on the team. I'm
good. Honestly, man, they're right there, neck and neck.
They are. Stephon
hasn't been a bitch this offseason. Brandon Ayuk has.
Now he's been chirping with CJ Stroud. Actually, he's been chirping a little bit already with him.
Look, man, all I'll say is we're seeing the same thing with CeeDee Lamb. There's a lot of news coming out with Jerry Jones and if they're going to sign him. And we're seeing the exact same thing with Ja'Marr Chase, who is now holding out as well. These wide receivers, they just must go to these diva universities because they are pampered. And they're acting like they should be pampered more. And realistically,
there's a pampered,
no disrespect to him. Position. No disrespect to him. They might be one of the easiest to replace.
Hey.
Every single year we see a wide receiver come out as a rookie and become a top 10 fucking rookie. We've seen, or a top 10 wide receiver. We've seen this happen for the last 3 or 4 years. Justin Jefferson, Puka. We saw with Jamar Chase, Puka. It happens every year.
Puka
Not
Cup.
To say a top 10 is always replaceable, but a good A-tier wide receiver is replaceable almost every draft. So it just is starting to piss me off. That's all I'm going to say. It's not just the Brandon Ayuk. I think it's starting to piss me off in general with this position. It's like, dude, you guys are making $30 million a year. What are we talking about?
Yeah.
What happened to the old days where the players just wanted to play to win?
Doesn't exist anymore.
Like Tom Brady, bro. Like, hey, dude, I'm not blazed him. All I'm saying is he took less money every single fucking chance he got. Patrick Mahomes, another fucking great example. Not even a top 10 paid quarterback in the league now.
Yeah,
he could have asked for more money after winning every Super Bowl he's won, but he doesn't.
Yep. Only lost to the GOAT.
It's frustrating, well, but yeah.
Speaking of things that are frustrating, Anthony, you have some good news. You know, let me just preface. It's rare that we have Patriots news on the pod because they're just so dominant. We don't even want to talk about them. And you have great news about this organization and franchise. So storied, historically amazing franchise. What's the good news, man? Talk to us.
Well, the Patriots are going to go 0-17 this year.
Hold on. Wait. Hold on. This sums up all of fans, all of the fans.
It is insane. What are we doing? For those who do not know what's going on right now with the Patriots drama and all their news and everything, we just traded Matthew Judon. For why not? One, we traded him to the Falcons. Second off, we traded him for a freaking bag of Cool Ranch Doritos.
I mean, Cool Ranch is the best flavor.
It is.
Low key, though.
It is. Sorry. No, for a shitty bag of chips. For those who don't know, we traded Matthew Judon to the Falcons for a third round pick in 2025. Are you serious?
That's it?
That's it.
Oh,
that shit. Is it.
That he wasn't going to play for you, so.
It's been a very, very busy week and a very, very busy day at work, so I have not got to see this and the details for this. I have not got to see the details for this for a third rounder.
Not going to cap. Yeah. Whoa, I stay on my computer all day at work, but my stuff gets blocked. I can't even go on ESPN, so.
That's really, really bad, Anthony. Like, it makes sense why you were so pissed. No, I just looked it up. I just Googled it.
Yeah.
I double-checked for you. A third-round pick.
Yep.
For Matthew Judon.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, if I'm Matthew Judon, I'm fucking pissed. I feel disrespected. Homie's a borderline top 7 edge rusher in the league.
Yes.
Dude. Oh, my God.
All right.
What does that make Atlanta's defense look like?
Don't know. But all I know is... Joe Milton, you better do something, bud. Better
Dude, you guys run your offense into really the end bad. Zone. You guys are going to be 0-17. Really, who's going to be worse, the Broncos or the Patriots?
The Patriots.
Patriots.
Damn. I'm not going to lie. Brutal. I'm looking at this defense. And we'll get into this with our division breakdowns. I think the Falcons are going to win the NFC South pretty easily. But... we look at this, and the one thing before that they traded for Matthew Judon that they were missing was an edge rusher. And now they have Matthew Judon. I think they win the NFC South easily. Do I think they're an actual team to be scared about? No. But that defense looks a lot better with Matthew Judon in there. Shit.
Yeah, it does.
Fuck, man. That sucks. How do you feel?
Horrible.
Are you like absolutely more so horrible. Pissed off, or are you like happy that you're getting more into the what's it called? When a team just the tanking.
Oh, tank bowl.
Rebuild. Thank you. I could not think of it.
I guess both, you know, because I also know we are in that process of rebuilding. Matthew Judon turns 32, 33 this year or something like that. So he's getting older for sure. But it's still frustrating. Just want to see the team win more than 3 games, you know? Like, that'd be nice. But
I'm sorry. Just the way you said that.
It sucks.
Dude,
it sucks.
I will say, though, it's crazy because you look at your team and the one thing that looked promising was that defense.
Yeah. It looked.
And now it's okay. Like.
And now it's like.
Your guys' secondary is really solid. But again, now you're in for a treat. Christian Barrymore's a dog, though. I don't know. It's going to be tough.
It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be fun watching them get blown out by the Niners. That's not going to be a fun week for me when we're sitting on the couch together. That's not going
to
be fun
maybe
for you.
Go to the game.
God. Yeah, we can go to that.
Look out for that.
Yeah, look out for that. We may do that. But yeah.
Tough though, dude. I'm not going to lie.
What are your thoughts? Crazy.
I mean, look, this is the greatest franchise of all time. I think they haven't. I think they know exactly what they're doing. In Robert Kraft, we trust, right?
Yeah.
And that trust has got you guys 7 Super Bowls. I think Matt Judon was the reason you don't have your 8th. So I think this is a 17-0 season, but that's just me. And
you know what? There is one positive. Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
It took me a while to understand what you were doing there, and I got really confused. But
yeah, I got it. I got it. But you know what? I'm going to bring out one positive in this, boys. We still have KJ Osborne.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
We still have KJ Osborne.
You guys might have the best wide receiver core in the league.
Hey.
N'Keal Harry,
KJ Osborne, and Kendrick Bourne.
Bourne? Hey.
Yeah.
You know what? Jalen Polk now, too?
Hey. Bourne.
Dude, we're ready. We are ready. Oh, man.
But it's not good news. I will say, Anthony, it's tough because Matthew was asking for a lot of money, and he was going to be up for his contract pretty soon here, right?
Yes.
Okay. So he was going to ask for a lot of money, and when you go into a rebuild like that, you're not going to sign a 33-year-old. No. You're not going to fucking do it. So he was gone no matter what after this year, which sucks, unless he was a franchise guy. And maybe he was, but he would have had to take less money, especially Patriots needing offensive help. But I think you look at it as like more of a rebuild, and you got to be excited for what's to come in the future. You know, I mean, I know a first rounder isn't perfect. It's not a great trade at all, honestly. But
no.
With that being said, the team is in complete rebuild mode now, and you know that they're done. Like, it's going to take years. So
it's definitely going
to
take a few
years. It makes sense to not take on that contract, but a third round pick. I mean, that's not really anything to be excited about. Hopefully you guys find a crystal in the fucking dirt. Let's just say
Russell Wilson was a third round pick,
but you know what I mean. Hopefully you find someone that's decent.
A crystal in the dirt?
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck I was yapping about.
Dude, that's absurd. That's so bad.
I don't even know. I don't even know. My brain is fried today. My brain is literally fried from work. Like, all I've been doing has been talking to people, going back. It's been a long day.
We've got a $3,000 paycheck. Doesn't know how to speak anymore. I see how it is.
That's not what the fuck happened. There's just too much shit going on. But, yeah, I mean,
see what happens at the end of the day.
I think it's good for a rebuild just because that contract is huge. But third round pick sucks, bro. You better find a gem. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. Well, Ant, you did say we'll find out. We are going to find out because it is time for the first of 4 renditions of who's going to win that division, baby. And we're going to start off. We're going to start off with the AFC East. Look, I'm just going to run through this real quick, and then we'll discuss this. We're going to break down each division. We're going to do it quickly. We don't have 6 hours. You don't have 6 hours. But let's start with the AFC East, all right? Last year, in order, you had the Bills, the Dolphins, the Jets, then the Patriots. The Bills finished the season at 11-6. They won their division, and they were 7-2 at home, 4-4 away. And notably, they ended the season on a 5-game win streak to clinch that division. Moving down the list, you got the Dolphins. Dolphins finished 11-6. They clinched the wild card. They were 7-2 at home, but really struggled on the road, especially because all of the teams that they play are very northern and they struggle in cold climate play. So they were 4-4 on the road. They ended the season on a 2-game losing streak and lost the division in the final game to the Bills. Moving on, we have the Jets. The Jets finished 3rd in that division. They finished 7-10, missed the playoffs, 4-5 at home, 3-5 on the road, ended the season with a win. But here's the reason the Jets sucked. Aaron Rodgers,
four plays into the season on a new team, his first new team in his career.
Guess who's back?
There's his ACL. There's his ACL. So
Aaron Rodgers.
He's back. He's back.
I love friend.
Mr. Vaccinated.
Mr. Vaccinated. So,
finally, crazy. Finally, we had Anthony's favorite team, the greatest team of all time, the 2023 New England Patriots. They finished with a record of 4-3. They missed the playoffs. They were 1-8 at home, which is unbelievable. 1-8 at home.
Christ, that's bad.
And 3-5 on the road. And they ended the season on a two-game
losing
streak.
Maybe that's why Matthew Judon wanted to leave. He never won.
I remember when that one day when we were driving around in Newport, and I was so incredibly pissed, and I was just completely on one with the Patriots losing so bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
That was also a tough week in fantasy, right?
Oh my God! Yeah, that was also a tough week. I was not having it. Yeah. Anyways, continue.
Oh shit, man.
Well, look, that's it. Now I gotta say one thing. You know, we could talk about the, you know, who each of these teams lost. We probably will talk about that. The one notable thing, you know, doing some research and trying to work out a little structure for this, the Jets, man, they drafted what's got to be the coolest name in all of football right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read this out. Mm-hmm. Quantez Stiggers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's hey, that's just a sick name, dude.
That's a crazy name.
That's a crazy name.
That's a crazy name. What does he play?
He's from Toronto. Well, that's not true. He played for the Argonauts. So he was drafted out of the CFL, which is something I didn't even know you could do.
He's a cornerback.
Yeah. Yep. Cornerback.
Stiggers. Hell yeah, dude. Let's go.
Yeah. So that's really cool. Anyway, let's go down this order. Who do we think is going to win this division and why?
Okay. I'm going to jump into this, and I think we can all say that we think the Patriots are going to be last, right? Get that out of the way?
Yeah, okay. Fortunately. Yeah.
Now let's get into it. So two of these teams made the playoffs last year, and then the Jets got significantly better with just Aaron Rodgers, and they had a couple of other guys that they signed.
And Breece Hall. Breece Hall did not play for the first start of the year.
Exactly.
So
I'm going to say this. I think personally the Jets are going to win, and I think they're the safest bet for this division. But, if Aaron Rodgers comes back and he plays timid like he did with the Packers, and I will say he's had a weird offseason where he hasn't really built the chemistry. We saw him with Garrett Wilson arguing. Not a great sign. We have not seen him argue a lot with Devontae. So, not to say Garrett Wilson isn't of that caliber, but it's different. I think if Aaron Rodgers comes back and is not at least 90% of Aaron Rodgers, they could easily slip to third, maybe. And that's the thing. I think this division is really, really, really hard to predict.
Because I do too.
Me personally, I think the Dolphins got worse. And we can go through it. I mean, they got rid of Christian Wilkins, Xavier Howard, two key components to that defense. They added a couple guys, but no one's special, really. And I think their draft picks were pretty solid in the first three rounds, but I just look at that team, and to be honest with you, I don't trust Tua. I don't think they're going to be a team to win the playoffs, because to win the playoffs, you have to win in the cold. And like Keaton said, when they play in the cold, they don't have that speed. They're not a ground and pound type of team. You know, they beat you with speed everywhere, even at running back. So I think it's tough for them to go into a lot of these colder places and win. So I think, me personally, I would go Jets, Bills, Dolphins, Patriots. But those first three, a lot can happen, man. And the Bills got rid of a lot of players, a lot of really, really good players too, man. Stephon Diggs, Jordan Poyer, Gabe Davis, Micah Hyde, Leonard Floyd. Their defense is going to be completely new, completely new. Yeah. They lost at least four starters on defense, which is always tough. But you look at a team, and when you predict these things, I know Colin Cowherd does a segment where he does predictions based off of just quarterbacks alone. And it's funny, that gets a lot of hate, but his predictions, when he does that, he's like 75% right, because typically the quarterback is the most important position for winning, right? And if you have a good quarterback that can win a lot of big games, you win most games. So I think the Bills being second is the most fair, just because they had a lot of departures. But me personally, I think they have the best quarterback in this division. Now, if you guys want to add on to that, you can go for it. That's my predictions. I think that's kind of a consensus thing.
Yeah.
But it's a hard prediction to predict, or a division to predict.
It is. It is. Do you have anything to add?
No. I agree. Honestly, I think Jets, Bills, Dolphins, Patriots being the worst. I think Dolphins definitely got worse. Offensively and defensively, honestly, offensively, they still have, you know, their weapons and everything, but I don't like Tua. I'm not a big Tua guy. Bills. See, the weird thing with the Bills is that, you know, I just don't see a lot of offensive weapons for the Bills. I don't see the hype for Josh Allen this season, at least. I don't see how, in general, too, in fantasy speaking wise, at least as well, that he is the number one quarterback when it comes to fantasy. And like, I just don't understand who
he's going to have to really do a lot of running.
A lot of work and a lot of running.
That's my guess.
Yeah. And not saying anyone on that, like any of those receivers or anyone on that offense is like really bad, but I don't know. Like everyone's super young. I don't see it right now. Jets, you put Aaron Rodgers in there and you have Garrett Wilson. That's pretty lethal, especially for the numbers that Garrett Wilson put up last season without Aaron Rodgers and with a few other quarterbacks Zach Wilson. Yeah. Honestly, Jets, in my opinion, I think they could easily go number one.
Yep.
That's my take.
That's fair.
So I'll say something too. And maybe this wasn't something that we were going to talk about, but I'll be completely honest. I think Keon Coleman is the most exciting player that I want to watch in this division. I think he could be great. Realistically, I know that they have a couple wide receivers that are returning there, but he's been hyped up. I think Khalil Shakir is going to be awesome to watch. I realistically think that he could maybe go for 1,000. The Bills are going to be a fun team to watch and a really interesting team to watch. And I think, like you said, it's confusing as to why Josh Allen's the quarterback one, but I think he's going to get a lot of goal line touches and run the ball just specifically more. He's going to have to. Like, realistically, that team's going to struggle. And maybe not with the running back they have there. And I understand, like, they have a decent run game, but my worry is that Josh likes to throw to big-time receivers, I feel like, and he's always loved Stephon, even though they've had beef. And even Gabe Davis, I don't know who's going to stretch the field for them. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, and that's the main thing. I feel like, realistically, can Keon Coleman do that? I mean, I know he ran like a 4.6. And again, I think that their offensive line is a little bit better than it has been in the past. I like James Cook, but I don't know. Dalton Kincaid can be a good guy as well. I just think Keon is definitely the most exciting player that I could at least say for the Bills. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
But I think Cook is decent. I don't know. Yeah. They're a really hard team to predict.
The whole AFC East is always tough because it's really just a division of unpredictability. That's not a word, but that's cool. Unpredictability. Thank you.
Crystal in the dirt.
Wow. Holy moly.
Crystal that was in a the crystal. Dirt right
that
there.
That was a crystal in the dirt. you know, diamond in the rough, potato, potato. Oh, anyway, look, I was limited in what I could do. Wikipedia was my best friend today when I was working out, you know, departures and additions. And I gotta be honest, man, the Jets added a lot. They had a really good draft. They had quite a few draft picks. And you know what? I'll say this. I thought Jordan Travis at Florida State was really good all season. And I think if he hadn't gotten injured, that team could have won the national championship. And the fact that they were able to get him in the fourth or fifth round, whenever they did, I think is really great. And I think, you know, you can have him sit behind Aaron Rodgers and play productive. But look, they also lost. I mean, they also lost a few players. They were they lost all their players to the Eagles too. Three of their most notable players went to the Eagles, who we'll talk about later. I think it's really hard. I think this whole Jets win the division thing is predictable, because when would you bet against Aaron Rodgers, especially in the regular season? The problem is we've never seen Aaron Rodgers come off this an injury like this. And, you know, something we saw with Tom Brady is that Tom Brady hit a wall. And I don't know if Aaron Rodgers will hit that same wall, because they're two different types of player. But it's entirely possible. Like Zach said, there's not that chemistry. And the Dolphins
are
tough.
It's a different Aaron Rodgers.
And I can't expect the Dolphins to win on the road. That's just something that they can't do. Why they're you know, in the Eastern Division of the AFC when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are in the NFC South, I don't understand. But you know, that's not me. The Bills lost a lot of players. They didn't gain any back. I don't see them being as productive. I think they're a wild card team, but yeah, I agree with all of you guys. I think the Jets win that division. But again, I think it's really dependent on Aaron Rodgers' success. And even if he plays mid, I think that team is so stacked defensively.
I wanted to add on to that.
Yeah, their cornerbacks are locked down. Dude, it's hard.
Their defense is so stacked. And I think adding Javon Kinlaw for depth is going to be huge for that team, because you look at their team and, dude, they're fucking stacked everywhere on defense. It's literally just Aaron Rodgers and that offense. And realistically, when you look at that offense, they've definitely upgraded the offensive line. Breece Hall is a fucking beast if he can stay healthy. The defense everywhere is stacked. Jermaine Johnson, dog. Javon Kinlaw, dog. Quinnen Williams, best defensive tackle in the league. They also got Hassan Reddick. We didn't add that, but Hassan, when he's healthy, he's a dog. Sauce Gardner, their whole defense, DJ Reed, literally everywhere. They don't have a weakness.
They're going to be really good.
Even if he doesn't start, which they have him in the starting lineup right now for their depth chart. Maybe that's just a thing with Saleh, just because he knows how he plays. But even if he doesn't start, or if he does, I mean, it's a great addition. I just think the Jets have too much.
I will say this one thing. This will be the best Jets team if Aaron Rodgers is successful since Mark Sanchez took this team to the AFC Championship 8 years ago, 9 years ago. This will be the first time they've experienced this type of success in a long time. So if Aaron Rodgers hits and Mohamed Salah, wrong sport. If Robert Saleh can be a good coach, I think this team's going to be really good. Let's stay out of the game. Go ahead.
What's their ceiling?
Jets?
Yep. Can they make an AFC championship game? Can they win an AFC championship game?
I think they could win an AFC championship game. Well, no, I don't actually. And I'm sorry. I think talent-wise, they actually might have the best roster in all the AFC, maybe second or third best. However, it's Aaron Rodgers, baby. Aaron Rodgers in the playoffs is like Dak Prescott in the playoffs.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I think their ceiling is AFC championship, and I don't think that they can win it. I don't.
Yeah.
Not yet, at least. Not yet.
It's possible, though. It's possible. We've seen crazier things, man. We've seen crazier things. I think realistically, their ceiling is probably 13-4. I think that's really realistic. Okay, so let's bounce out of the AFC. Let's hop on a flight. Let's go to Philadelphia, baby. Because we're going to talk about the NFC East. All right. City of brotherly love, the city of brotherly shove. Look, the NFC.
Yo, wait, that was kind of tough.
The NFC East was the NFC East was a struggle bus last year. The Eagles went ballistic, man. And that whole time, the Dallas Cowboys were on their ass, man. I mean, it was neck and neck the whole way. But at the end of the day, the Eagles, man, they really struggled. They lost five of their last six. Drew Lock put his ball sack in Jalen Hurts' mouth. And that was the end of that season, man, because look, here's how it ended. In 2023, the Dallas Cowboys won that division. They finished with a record of 12-5. They were 8-0 at home. The only team that even came close to beating them was Geno Smith when he was cooking, DK Metcalf when he was cooking. They ended with a two-game win streak and clinched that division. Just going to be honest. The Eagles finished second, clinched a wild card. I mean, they struggled, man. They couldn't beat the Seahawks. They couldn't beat the Niners. They really struggled against the NFC West. They finished with the season 11-6. They clinched the wild card. They lost that wild card game to Tampa Bay. I mean, they got fucking demolished to Baker Mayfield.
I could not believe that. Keaton, you called that, by the way.
I mean, good call, but I could not believe I watched them on Monday Night Football live when Drew Lock, just like I said, dropped his nutsack. And they just... I watched a team with role players and no one stepped up to be the player. There was no X factors on that team last year. And when Jalen Hurts just wasn't consistent and couldn't play like we know he can, that team just crumbled. And that's what happened near the end of the season. They were 6-2 at home, 5-4 away. They ended with a 2-game win streak. I'm sorry, a 2-game losing streak, but they lost 5 of their last 6. Moving on, the Giants. The Giants were everything we expected them to be. They finished with a record of 6-11. They were 4-4 at home and 2-7 away. Probably what I've seen, one of the worst offensive lines I've personally ever witnessed.
Maybe ever seen. Yeah,
it was really bad. And then the Commanders, man, the Commanders, Jesus, criminy crickets. You know, Dan Schneider sells that organization about damn time. And everyone expected them to be ass. Everyone expected them to be shitty. They finished 4-13, 1-7 at home, 3-6 on the road. Lost 8 straight games, man. There was a point when people were looking at this team like, hey, Sam Howell's balling out, baby. Sam Howell's cooking. And then all of a sudden it's just they hit that wall, man. It was like a sophomore slump for that whole team. It's you get into the dog days after a bye week and you take a week off and you lose that competitive edge and teams figure out how to play against you. And that's what happened. Their whole defense shut down. They couldn't do anything. I still to this day cannot believe Seattle lost to this shitty ass franchise, whatever. Anyway, what do we think about our predictions, man? What do you think about our predictions?
Dude, I'll say this, and I'll say a couple of things. Number one, I look at this Eagles team and I'm like, is it too good to be true? Because last year, and I know they're a completely different team. Last year, they still had talent. They still had talent. And realistically, what was the issue last year?
We look back. I don't. Honestly, there was 3. Coaching. I think. They were out coached everywhere. Defensively, they struggled, man. Look, their cornerbacks.
I'm gonna say this. I want to say this. Nick Sirianni, if he doesn't perform well or if he doesn't coach well this year, he's gone. He's on the hot seat. He has to be. That team's chemistry last year was dog shit. Dog shit. And now you add all the players you've added and you draft the way that you draft. If you don't go 12-5, win your division. If they don't win their division, I think he's gone. I think Nick Sirianni's gone if they don't win it. Yeah. I think he has to be.
Yeah. I don't know what he does. Like, I honestly I watch these games and I'm like, what does he do? He gets in fights with fans. He gets in fights with other players. Like, what do you do, man? I get it.
You see Dan Campbell. He's a motivator. You see Kyle Shanahan, pure offense. You see an Antonio Pierce. He's kind of a player connection type of guy. Nick Sirianni does literally nothing but show wrong emotions.
I don't understand. He's not a creative system caller because he doesn't have to be. And defensively, I can't speak on his behalf in a positive manner because defensively, I watched Drew Lock with my own eyes complete a 92-yard drive with a minute 30 left. Put that shit on. I mean, I was on that end zone when Jaxon Smith-Njigba caught that ball. I watched them crumble, man. And then I watched Jalen Hurts go out there trying to save the season, man, because at that point, you don't win this game. It's bad. It looks awful. You lose a lot of momentum because Seattle was reeling at that point. And he throws his second interception of the game to the same player. I saw a team that had not organization.
They didn't even look like they wanted to win.
They had no identity. They had no identity. They were a football team showing up every week to collect a paycheck. They had all the talent in the world, but they didn't have an identity and a chemistry that kept them all in line. Right. And we've seen that it happens. Doesn't happen a lot in football, but it happens a lot in other sports like basketball, man.
Right.
You could pay bags and bags for the same for an expensive team. It might not work out because at the end of the day, it's about the chemistry. It's about consistency.
Right.
And it shouldn't work out.
I don't know. I'm an Eagles hater, so maybe this is coming just from a hater in itself, but I think the Eagles are getting overrated. I don't know. I don't know. Something tells me Nick Sirianni and that chemistry is not fixed. And last year, we saw this. We know that they added every single player that they did. Saquon. They added Quinion Mitchell. They added Cooper DeJean. Every single guy that they've added in the offseason, I think has been great. But they didn't add a coach. They didn't change coaching. They didn't change quarterback. They didn't change the chemistry. And to me, that was the main thing. Like you said, identity. What are they going to do with Saquon? Are they going to do the tush push? Jason Kelsey's retired. It's just, maybe I'm a hater, but I think they win the division. I think we can agree with that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with it. I think the Cowboys have a lot of questions right now too.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys are in second and possibly make a wild card. Dude, would it be a ballsy take to say the Cowboys might not make the playoffs?
I think that's very ballsy. I think it's ballsy.
I think they're going to be seven if they do. I think they're going to be the last wild card. I think they're one that squeaks in. I could see like a 9-8, dude. 10-7.
I'll tell you what. That defense carried everything. I mean, that defense. Yes. And look, don't get me wrong. You know, Dak Prescott has more haters than anyone I've ever met. Well, some, you know, he's got a lot. Dak Prescott, dude, he fucking balled out all season last year. In the regular season, asterisks. He balled out, man, and he kept that offense afloat. But, you know, like you're saying, man, C.D. Lamb, we're not sure if he's going to play. Micah Parsons,
baby.
He wants a deal. Dak Prescott, he wants his money. You got your three best players on that whole team, all wanting contracts. I don't know how it happens, man.
Talk about chemistry.
How does it happen in Jerry World?
CD's being a fucking baby too. I'm like, dude, I understand it with these wide receivers, but it's getting too much. And then you look at some of their additions and they didn't add anyone. They added Zeke, Royce Freeman, and Eric Kendricks, man. It's like,
dude, they added a few, but those were the best.
You're adding three guys right there that are old, washed up, or maybe an above average linebacker at best.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All three old guys. They're not even like elite veterans. And it's like, you look at the Eagles, they added Saquon, Devin White. I mean, dude, they added,
and not only that,
single fucking person. Quinion Mitchell, they drafted perfectly. It's just,
and Cooper DeJean, man, Will Shipley, you know, as a third down, you know, slot type guy. The Cowboys, you know, and this has been every anti-Cowboys fan's complaint. Is that Jerry Jones controls that whole organization. And that's why, since Jimmy Johnson has left, that team has been shitty and shitty and shitty and shitty. They haven't won anything since Jimmy Johnson, because Jimmy Johnson was the only guy who didn't take shit and actually called the team and called the games how he wanted. And Jerry Jones wants it his way. And unfortunately, his way doesn't work. And I don't know. I don't know what the Cowboys... The Cowboys are a question mark. That's what I'll leave it at. The Cowboys are the most hit or miss franchise in that division.
I'll say this. There's two players that I'm really looking forward to watching in this division next year. And to be honest, it's one of the guys I said, Zeke. Zeke played really well for the Patriots.
He did what he had to do. Fucking
around a little bit. Mm-hmm. He averaged almost five a fucking carry with the Patriots.
He did great with that offensive line. Great.
I think he could be good. And then another guy, and we've talked about him a little bit, Malik Nabers. I don't know, his preseason debut was not promising, but he looked like a dog in training camp, man. And I'm really excited to watch him play. Although the Giants, man, and maybe we can go through our division predictions now. I mean, I think we're pretty sure it's going to be 1-2 with the Eagles and Cowboys, right?
Yeah.
We agree with that,
yeah.
Anthony?
Yeah, okay. 100%.
And 3-4, it's... Maybe a toss-up, not really a toss-up. I think they're going to be both shit, but the Giants and the Commanders, right? It's got to be 3-4 Giants and then Commanders.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Mm-hmm. But you look at these teams, and it's like, I just don't see them being that competitive. The Eagles, I think, are a top three maybe team in the NFC. I don't think the Cowboys are going to be a team that make a splash. Maybe that's a hot take, but I just don't see it, man. I don't see it.
It's going to be tough, man. The NFC is going to be really stacked this year. Houston's going to ball out. That whole division's going to be absolutely insane. I was thinking the NFC South. I'm thinking Tampa Bay. I think Tampa's going to be a really good franchise. Atlanta's going to, you know, they need to do. It is going to be tough, man. The Giants are right now, for me, on the outside looking in of that wild card, but it's all dependent. I think the NFC West is a big question mark.
I'm not going to lie. This is a hot take, and we'll get to it. I think three teams from the NFC West are going to make it.
I don't think Seattle has any shot, but that's
– I think that they could be 9-8. I'm not going to lie.
I like our roster, but I think Mike McDonald's great. But, yeah, we're going to talk about that in a few weeks. Ant, is there anything – you know, is there anything that you're excited about with this division? Any players that you want to watch? Anybody you're like,
One player I don't even know how it's going to go down with, honest, is Austin Eckler with the Commanders.
Yeah. No, that's a so great call. Good.
Yep. I'm so in the same boat.
For so many years. And I think we can all agree on that. He was top tier running back for the Chargers.
Yep.
And then last year just took a shit. Like, what happened to him? And then now on the Commanders, like, great, okay. How is he going to do, though? Is he going to, you know, is he going to be, like, out of nowhere, come back to being this top-tier running back again? Or is he going to still be a very mid running back from last year, you know? Are we going to get the same Austin Eckler from last year, or are we going to get the old Austin Eckler, right? I'm really curious to see how he's going to fit in with that offensive line and just with the playmaking and everything. I agree with everything what you guys said. Eagles, I'm not an Eagles hater of any sort, really. Not like Zach is, probably just as equivalent to Keaton. Cowboys, like you guys said, they're the biggest boomer bust team, I think, right now in the NFL. But I still think they're going to end up second. Giants, I really couldn't tell you jack shit about the Giants. That says it all. Same thing with the Commanders, right? You're just kind of see. Oh, you're like, oh, okay, Commanders. Okay.
I mean, like, their most notable addition was like John Runyon.
Yeah. See, like
after that, it's like, okay.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ant.
I was going to say one other one. I'm kind of curious with just because of genetics, because of the family genes, Luke McCaffrey, wide receiver.
Mm-hmm. That's why I put him on this list.
I'm curious, you know,
like it would be really cool to see him return punts or return kicks. Cause I feel like he's got that build to him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
exactly.
Right. He was a beast with Rice.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. I could see if time goes on and if the Commanders really played their cards well with this, I think they could do something. I think they could be decent. Yeah. Not this year.
Jaden Daniels too.
Yeah, exactly. I definitely think that I think as the years go on or throughout this year too, keep a close eye on the Commanders. Honestly, I would like to see how they turn out to be, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yep. Well, I'll say this one thing. I know I'm a yapper, but the only thing I'm excited about for the Giants is the prospect of Drew Lock possibly starting by week two, week three. I've watched a lot of mini camp because I've always kind of been a Drew Lock guy. I'll tell you what, if you pull up some of the receipts though, I have bitched about him a lot.
Yes, you have.
I think I just didn't give him his fair shot. And then once I saw him actually like get several games in, I was like, oh, okay. I think he could be a starter. I think he's a lot better than Daniel Jones is. And I actually think Drew Lock has a similar running ability. The thing I see with Drew Lock is Drew Lock has a little bit more experience. And I've been watching a lot of minicamp, and it, you know, from Giants fans, it sounds like Daniel Jones has been stinking it up there. I've heard he's overthrowing a lot. I've heard he's looked awful. Brian Daboll does not like him. And honestly, much like Nick Sirianni, Brian Daboll's so pointless right now in that granted, he was the reason Josh Allen's been Josh Allen. However, he is not a good head coach. And and look, if Jaden Daniels hits like CJ Stroud did with the Texans, and Bobby Wagner maybe plays well, and Zach Ertz can return to form. If Austin Eckler can return to form and play like he is. Don't be shocked if the Commanders actually finish third in this division. I think the Giants will regress with who they drafted and who they lost. And I think the Commanders improve. I think Ron Rivera was holding them back a lot. And I think for the longest time, they haven't had a quarterback who really is a cornerstone. I mean, you had Fitzpatrick, you had Sam Howell, you had so many run-of-the-mill guys that were just journeymen coming in there trying to win. I really think Jaden Daniels is their guy. So
They're gonna be a lot of fun to watch. I think
that's fun is an overstatement.
Dude, I don't know, man. They could
at times they could be exciting.
That's what I'm saying. At times, I'm not gonna sit there and watch a fucking Commanders game.
Yeah,
but
I'll tell you what, they're gonna be
highlights. I'm like, hey, I expected this.
They're gonna be interesting.
Happening, you can see it coming. Yep.
Catch it on the red zone, you know. You'll see the highlights.
I don't know. There's a couple guys that just stand out, like we said. The thing with Austin Ekeler, and we can finish with this, he looked slow last year. He lost some ability to run fast. I'll say that. His explosiveness, his acceleration, his top speed, everything was slower. He definitely lost some ability in that. Yes, go for it.
I was gonna say, I don't think he lost anything. I think it's pure laziness. This is why I say this.
That's literally where I was gonna get to.
Okay.
I was gonna say, do you think it was just passion and he just didn't want to play for them anymore?
So what I heard, and I can't remember if we talked about this on here or if I just told Zach this, but there was a statement that came out saying how Austin Ekeler did not want to have a full workload anymore
with
the Chargers.
Yes.
And that was really, really weird for us to hear. And it makes sense if he really wasn't playing that well then, because it didn't look like he lost anything. It looked like it was just pure laziness and he just didn't care. He didn't care one bit.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing. Like, there's a couple of highlights you see him literally running breakaway. Like, he is out in front of everyone. He gets caught. Acceleration is down. Mm-hmm. His top speed is down. Literally everything in that realm of speed, it looks like it declined. But when you look at it, it's like, is it a passion thing? He said he didn't want that workload, and he got it. And it's like,
maybe.
You see what players do when they don't get what they want.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. Yep, we're seeing it right now. Anyway, well, that's our episode. Thanks for if you stayed, if you watched the whole thing, shout out to you. Hey, be sure to check us out on Instagram. Watch our shorts. We're on TikTok. Follow the other channels, man. Good Old Hockey Podcast had a banger a few weeks ago. Interviewed an actual NHL player. We got a lot of good stuff. Also, if you guys have a free Thursday nights, we're going to be uploading on Thursday nights.
Our lives.
We're gonna be uploading.
Check out the lives and be on the lookout for new episodes. We're gonna be switching to Tuesday nights. So
we're recording Tuesday nights and we're gonna start uploading on Thursday nights. So Thursday mornings right before football. So you get you get your weekly coverage before the games start.
Yeah.
Look at that. Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
Look at that. Yeah. We're experts. We understand what you want. Well, thanks for tuning into this episode. We hope you have a great rest of your day. And
peace, y'all.
Peace.